about faithful and thankful. How many of you have ever been on a seesaw? Yep. I'd be curious, by the way, to ask some of the kids that. I bet they don't even know what a seesaw is anymore. What is that app for that? That's what they would ask you. How many of you have ever been on a seesaw and had somebody on the other end jump off when you were up in the air? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not a pleasant experience at all. A seesaw is actually a lever. A lever is a rod or a board on a pivot point. And that pivot point, if you position that pivot point in the right place, you can use that lever to lift great loads, sometimes loads that you could never, ever lift otherwise. And this morning, I want to talk with you for a few moments about a story that is, it's a simple story. It's a really, really simple story. And we will read it in a minute. You'll see that. But this story shows us, acts as a lever in the kingdom of God. And I want to show you that. I want us to talk about, let me show you what I'm talking about. The story, the incident that we're about to talk about here from it comes early in the ministry of Christ. It comes early in his ministry, and the fullness of who he is has not yet dawned on the people. They haven't, it's still too early. They're still darling, they're still trying to get their hands around, they're still trying to grasp, they're still trying to understand who this is and what's going on. But they know something supernatural is happening. They understand something supernatural is going on. Some are beginning to embrace him. Others are just uncertain. They're kind of taking a wait and see approach. And some actually have already made up their mind that they want nothing to do with him. That they just want nothing to do with him. And Mark and Luke both record that what we're about to occur, it happens on the Sabbath. Jesus has been teaching in the synagogue, and then he leaves the synagogue and he goes to Peter's house. And I want to pick up the story there, and I want to read for you four or five verses in Mark, the first chapter. If you have your Bibles, turn there. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the house and home of Simon, that is Peter, and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her and took her hand and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick who were demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Now, these first two passages of Scripture are connected, but I want to talk this morning about the first passage, the first part of this that we read a moment ago, because here's what I want us to see over the next couple of weeks, today and next week. Thankfulness in response to God's faithfulness opens the door for the glory of God and the kingdom of God at levels like we never knew before. There is a connection between God's faithfulness and our thankfulness. I want you to see something. There is a small thing here that happens that almost seems insignificant, and yet it makes all the difference in the world. I just want to break this story down just a little bit, dig out a couple of things, and just show you a couple of things here. First, I want you to see what actually happened here. Evidently, Peter's mother-in-law is sick, very sick. In fact, she's so sick that we're told that she is so sick that others had to tell Jesus that she was sick and laying in bed. In fact, how many of you know if Jesus comes to your home and you don't even gotta get out of bed, you're sick? I mean, she was sick. This was a woman who was used to hospitality and used to caring, and she was sick. And it's interesting the way the story reads. It says he went over to her and he took her by the hand and he lifted her up, and the fever left her. It's fascinating to watch what happened. Jesus simply walks over, goes in the room where she is, takes her by the hand and lifts her up, and she is healed. The fever is gone. The fever has left her. By the way, Carmen said, I didn't say this. Carmen said this was a miracle that Peter never asked for. You're not getting it. I didn't say that Peter didn't want his mother-in-law healed. Carmen said that. But Jesus goes over and he just takes her by the hand and he just lifts her up and she is healed. And in fact, the way it's written, this almost seems like a casual thing. There's no great fanfare. He just goes and he takes her by the hand and he raises and he lifts her up and she is healed. And then he goes on about what he is doing. And it's fascinating. Almost a small thing, almost a casual thing. But it is in her response that I want you to see this morning. I'm just going to be here just for a moment. It is in her response. Watch what happens here. And it says that she, and the fever left her and she began to wait on them. Do you see it here now? In fact, the way it is written, it almost seems like a small, insignificant thing, but this is the pivot point for everything else that we will begin to see. It's the pivot point. This, her getting up and her beginning to wait on him. In fact, Luke makes it clear. It says she got up immediately and began to wait on them. Not only him, but all of those that were in the room. She began to wait on them. And this is a fascinating description here. Watch this. This word wait is an interesting word. And I just want to unpack this just a little bit here. And let's talk for a few moments about it this morning. This word wait is an interesting word. It's actually a word that has three important aspects of it. First of all, it's a very specific word for service. And this word is distinguished from all of the other words. It's a very specific word that the author used here. It distinguishes it from the service that a slave would get. It distinguishes it from service for wages. That is, like a person would serve for wages. It distinguishes it from public service or from the general service. This term wait here in the original language is a word that actually means that has the basic idea of personal service. Personal service. She personally gets up and begins to wait on all of them that are in the room. She personally stands up and she begins to wait. She begins to wait on them. The second thing that this word wait here means, I mean, I told you I had three ideas connected to this. One word is that it's personal. The second thing is this. This word wait is used in many places in the Bible where the idea of serving food is used. And then the third thing that this word means is this word wait is used, it's only used in some very specific cases. It's used as to describe the kind of service that is proper for a disciple. Proper for a disciple. So watch what happens here. Jesus goes in the room, he takes her by the hand and he raises her up, he lifts her up, and as he does, she gets up and she begins to offer personal service. By doing what? She begins to cook a meal. She begins to prepare bread. She begins to prepare a meal. She begins to set the table. She begins to make them hospitable and to feel welcome in her home. She begins to personally serve him in a way that is proper for a disciple of Christ. And here's what I want you to see this morning. Here's the whole point of what I'm trying to make this morning is this. Watch this. Jesus was faithful to her simply by going over and taking her by the hand and lifting her up. And she was thankful to him in her service. Do you see it? Jesus' faithfulness was lifting her up. Her thankfulness was when she got up, she began to serve him. She began to minister to him. She began to prepare him a meal. She began to prepare all of those that were in the room a meal. She began to pour out. Jesus had lifted her up, and when she stood up on her feet, she began to then go and bake and cook and clean and make beds and make the place hospitable and make them feel welcome and make them feel comfortable. Do you understand? Jesus did this without fanfare, almost casually, and yet he demonstrated his faithfulness, his goodness, his love, his care for her by going over and taking her by the hand and just lifting her up. Her response to that was her thankfulness. her thankfulness. You see the connection here? God was faithful and she was thankful in her service to him. How many times, I wonder? Here we go now. Does Jesus come and lift us up, take us by the hand and lift us up? And when he does, we say, thank you, Jesus. And we're off about our life. We're off about what we want to do. We're off about what we have in our heart to do, what we desire to do. You understand? Her response, watch this. Her response is significant because she began to personally wait on them. Her response was her thankfulness in response to Jesus' faithfulness. The way our thankfulness, many times when we start talking about thankfulness, we place it in the category of we're gonna, well, when we start talking about Thanksgiving, I'm sorry, we place it in the category of we're gonna have a big meal and we're gonna have family over. And listen, that's great. Feasting, can I get an amen this morning? Feasting is in the Bible. Oh, I thought I'd have got a bigger amen than that. Let me try it again. Feasting is in the Bible. Amen. So I'm not talking bad about feasting at all. But her thankfulness, what was it that she was doing? She was being thankful. She was actively thankful. She was moving in faith. She wasn't just listen, sometimes I think we just high-five Jesus and walk off. Right? Thank you, Lord. And we're off to the next thing. We're running on to the next thing. When what did she do? She stood up and she began to serve. You know why? Listen, this was personal service. Jesus had lifted her up. He had taken her by the hand. He had healed her body. He had caused the fever to leave. He had given her strength. This was personal service. She gave this to the Lord, and she did it within the context of her gifts, her talents, her ministry. Watch this. As a disciple ought to give. For the Christian, thankfulness ought to be more than a high five of God. Thankfulness has to go beyond just, hey, God, thank you, I appreciate it. And boom, I'm off to my life. Boom, I'm off to what I'm doing. Boom, I'm off to where I'm headed and what I have going in my life. You understand what's going on here? This was personal service. Service that belonged to him, service that she had given to him, service that she felt like she owed him, but it wasn't out of an obligation. Now, sometimes it's fascinating. See, God has been so faithful to us, sometimes in incredible over-the-top ways, sometimes in ways that are subtle ways, sometimes in ways that we hardly notice, sometimes in ways that we can not quite understand. But listen, your thankfulness is your response to God's faithfulness. And the degree to which we are thankful demonstrates how much we think God has been faithful. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. There it is, isn't it? And here's what, listen, I want you to understand this morning what I begin to say. Listen, your thankfulness demonstrated in your personal service is the proper response of a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's the proper response. Thankfulness is personal. Thankfulness is service. And thankfulness is proper. It is a genuine response to the faithfulness of God. Thankfulness that is heartfelt says, God, I know that you lifted me up. I know that your hand has touched my life. I know that you have been on me. I know that you've moved in a way. I couldn't get myself up, but Lord, you took your hand and you lifted me up. And because you lifted me up, I'm going to serve you, Lord, with thankfulness. I'm going to serve you, Lord, with thankfulness. Now what does that look like? Let me just briefly here for just a moment. What does that look like? In what ways do we actually demonstrate thankfulness in personal service to him? Let me just mention a couple of three ways. One way is in serving the needy. Serving the needy. Do you remember when in Matthew, the later chapters of Matthew, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, and he's talking about when the sheep and the goats are going to be separated. And he says the sheep are the ones, As he's teaching about this, he says, you visited me in prison. You gave me a cup of water. You gave me something to eat. You gave me clothes on my back. And they said, Lord, when did we do this? And Jesus said what? When you did it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. You understand, don't you, this morning? When God has moved in your life and blessed you in your life, that's part of the way that we say thank you, God, for your faithfulness is in service to those who need it the most. Can I show you just a little thing here? Little thing here? Watch this. The sheep are prone to say, when that need comes up, the sheep are prone to say, what can I do? How can I serve? How can I minister? How can I lend a hand? How can I get involved? How can I make a difference? The goats are prone to say, I would, but. Goats are good at butting. Right? The goats are good at, I would serve, but. I would give, but. I would get my hands dirty, but. I would be involved, but. You all right this morning? Thankfulness is a response to God's faithfulness. It is not an obligation on you and I. It's not something somebody has to twist our arm to do. It's not something we are forced. God, you've been so good to me. How can I not but serve you and give to you and minister to you, Lord? Given to those that are needy. In fact, Jesus broke it down even further. He said, remember in one place, he said, if you give as much as a cup of water in my name, it has a great reward. One of the ways we are thankful for his faithfulness is serving those that are in need. A second way is this, is in loving one another. In loving one another. You remember what Jesus said? He said, as I have loved you, so you love one another. Do you understand what he's saying? He's saying, watch this. Did you hear what he said? He said, my faithfulness to you is my loving you. Your thankfulness for that love is you loving each other. Wow. My faithfulness to you is that I love you. My faithfulness to you is that I loved you when you were unlovable. My faithfulness to you is that I love you through the thick and the thin. My faithfulness to you is I love you through your failures. My faithfulness to you is I love you through your faults. My faithfulness to you is I love you when you're up and I love you when you're down. I love you when you come to me and I love you when you're running away from me. My faithfulness to you is that I love you. And your thankfulness for my faithfulness is when you love each other in the same way that I loved you. Wow. Wow. See, faithfulness and thankfulness is not this simple, small thing. It's a huge thing. And it turns, the kingdom of God turns on his faithfulness and us demonstrating that thankfulness back to him. That you love one another. And here's what he says. He says, and by this, watch this, and by this, all people will know that you are my disciples. Do you understand what has happened here? The pivot point has become the demonstration of the love of God, and it leverages the world to see that we are his disciples. Wow. God is faithful. And we are thankful when we demonstrate it in a real way. Let me show you just one more way, and I'm going to try to pull this down. Another way is this. Listen, it is the using of your gifts and your talents in the body of Christ. Corinthians chapter 12 says that, teaches us that the Holy Spirit's faithfulness are the gifts and the talents and the abilities that God has put into your life. I've watched some of you this week. I've watched some of you this week. Some of you prepared meals. Some of you went and cleaned their toilets. Some of you went and scrubbed their front porch. Some of you went and mowed their grass. Some of you went and just sat because you're physically wanting it, but some of you went and just sat and just loved on them. Some of you sent cards and some of you made phone calls. And that was a demonstration. God, you've been so faithful to me. How can I not use my gifts and my talents to serve another that is in such need and to show them love and use my gifts and my talents to minister to them? And by doing so, we leveraged the kingdom of God for his love to be shown, not just to that family, but to so many that were here that you didn't even know. There were some here in this place and some in that family that have not embraced the love of God. But you took a hold of that lever and you pulled it for the kingdom of God. And they left here knowing that God is real and that he loves them and he cares about them. And the kingdom of God won. The kingdom of God won. He is faithful. And we demonstrate our thankfulness when we use our gifts and our talents and our abilities. You see, his faithfulness to you is when he gives those gifts, those talents, and those abilities to you. Your thankfulness to him is when you use them to minister to the body of Christ and to others. Amen? Amen. Amen. See, church, faithfulness and thankfulness, it is a major pivot in the kingdom of God. I'm just going to mention this because I'm going to get into this deeper next week. I'm just going to mention it real quickly. If you look, if you read the rest of the story, I'm just going to mention this quickly, and then I'm going to try to pull this down. If you watch this, her act of hospitality. May Jesus feel welcome there. And come nightfall, we'll watch it, we'll look at it next week. Come nightfall, he was still there. And all across the city, it says, they were bringing their sick and their needy to her front door because Jesus was still there. Do you understand why? Her thankfulness to his faithfulness leveraged the kingdom of God. And the word says many were healed and others were delivered. Thankfulness to his faithfulness leverages the kingdom of God for his glory and for his name. And that is what we saw in this place this week. It was early the week before last that I knew I was preaching this message. And little did I know that this week I would watch as it was played out and portrayed over the last several days. You see, church, listen to me. What happens when we are thankful for his faithfulness? What happens when we are thankful is that when we do so, we begin to see God do greater things than we've seen him do before in you and through you and for you and around you. See, demonstrated thankfulness to God's faithfulness keeps God moving in your life, keeps God moving through your life. What difference does this make, Pastor? Oh, it changes everything, doesn't it? It changes everything when we are thankful for him being faithful. And this week I've watched as you have put feet and hands to your thankfulness. You've put arms and legs to your thankfulness for his faithfulness in your life. Can I say it this way and it please not be... And please don't take me wrong. Listen, this week was a win for the kingdom of God. It was a win for the kingdom of God. And a lot of people around looking said, that's what real Christian love is like. That's what genuine thankfulness is like. That's what a real church acts like. That's what real Christians are. That's the way they care for each other. A lot of people. And we have yet to see the fruit that will come from that. And some of it we may never see, but we've sown good seeds this week. Good seeds this week of thankfulness for his faithfulness. And this morning, I didn't come this morning. Sometimes I can step on your toes, I know. No, this morning I come to say good job. Good job. You demonstrated the love of Christ. Even if you didn't do anything more than show up at the visitation or make a phone call or say a prayer for them or send a card or a phone call or a text. And many of you did far, far beyond that. I just want to encourage you this morning. Because when we demonstrate our thankfulness for his faithfulness that way, it opens up big doors. I think huge doors were opened this week. I'm excited about what God has in store. I'm excited about what God's going to do. I'm excited about what's going to happen as we continue to walk in true thankfulness for his faithfulness. I'll talk a little more about that this week. But here's what I want to leave you with this morning. Pastor, how do we respond to a message like this? How do we respond to a message like this? I think one of the most appropriate responses and one of the first responses should be, Lord, help me more than ever before to take notice of your faithfulness, right? To not just push by it, to not take it for granted, to not just rush by. You know, when Jesus went and lifted her up by the hand, it would have been so easy, wouldn't it? It'd have been so easy to take that for granted. But it'd been so easy to take for granted that God touched you last week and you're able, you know, to go and get around. And it'd been so easy, right? It'd been so easy to rush past that and push past that. One of the first responses, Lord, help me to notice your faithfulness. Help me to notice when you're faithful. Help me to notice when you come through. Help me to never take for granted when you move on my behalf. Help me to never take your love and your care and your provision for granted. And Lord, the second part of that, Lord, help me to respond and demonstrate my thankfulness in a way that touches somebody else, that touches another life, that makes a difference in their life, that transformed another life. He's been faithful, hasn't he? Oh, he's been faithful. Father, I thank you and I praise you this morning. You have been so faithful to us. And we come this morning, Lord, to say thank you, but not just to say thank you, but Lord, to go beyond that and say, here we are, Lord. We are willing, Lord, to be the ones that touch another life, that influence a person for you, that shows them that you're loved, that gets our hands dirty, that makes a difference in their life. We praise and we thank you this morning, God. We pray, Lord, that indeed you will help us to witness your faithfulness and to demonstrate our thankfulness in a way that brings glory to your name and honor to your name and praise to you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. If God's been faithful to you this morning, stand to your feet. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to have to sing that song next week. So one of my old friends, it says he's been faithful. 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 Mm. Can you sing it now? Mm. Hallelujah. Sing it to him. It's a simple chorus. Sing it again to him, won't you? Yes. Yes. Father, you've been so faithful. Every one of us here this morning, Lord, to whom you have forgiven sins, you've been faithful. Many here this morning, you've touched them with healing. You've been faithful, God. Every one of us this morning that has a family and a job, you've been faithful, God. And this morning we say thank you. And this week we demonstrate that thankfulness for your faithfulness as instruments for you to touch another life, to bring glory to your name, to expand the kingdom, to make a difference in our world for you. We thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. He's faithful and we're thankful and we're gonna live like it, amen? Amen. Thank you again for being here this morning, for your love for each other and your love for the Lord. And by the way, Wednesday night, we'll be back talking about fasting for a spiritual breakthrough. And I encourage you to be here and be a part of that. Until I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up upon you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. God bless you. We love you this morning.